fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing.
Good evening and welcome to Older Women Live for February.
In the context of the Cold War, with the excuse of fighting communism, with the military and economic support of the United States and the economic interest of Canada and other powerful countries, crimes against humanity were committed against the civilian population during the internal armed conflict in Guatemala from 1960 to 1996. An example is the Achi women's case, in which the five men sentenced last Monday, January the 24th, were members of the so-called Civil Self-Defense Patrols, PAC, acting under the direction of the Army High Command. The PACs were created during the administration of Romeo Lucas Garcia in 1982 and made official in 1983 during the de facto government of Efraín Ríos Montt. During the 80s, several genocides were carried out. One of them was the Ischil genocide, for which Ríos Montt was sentenced in 2013. Former Army Chief of Staff Benedicto Lucas, responsible for many crimes during the 80s, was sentenced in 2018 for crimes against humanity in the Molina Thiessen case. In this case, Emma Molina was kidnapped, tortured, and sexually violated, and her brother, a child, was forcibly disappeared. The army organized the population to take control of the most remote areas of the country, supposedly through volunteers, but most of them were forced to join and punished if they did not fulfill their duties. In his expert report, Fernando Suazo López, a native of the Achi area, said that they were taught that women were nothing more than a body where only the men was free to dominate, subjugate, and enjoy. Mark Drewing, a Canadian researcher who evaluated the Victoria 82 and Firmness 83 campaign plans, created in 1982 and 1983 to guide actions against the guerrillas, asserted that the army was responsible for the PACs and their actions. According to the Victoria 82 campaign plan, the officer in charge of operations was responsible for supervising the training and orientation of the PACs. It was not an spontaneous organization. There was an organizational structure, and it was linked to the Army General Staff according to this plan. Despite great difficulties, 36 Achi women survivors organized themselves, and with the support of the Rabinal Legal Aid Office, Solidarity Organizations, Impunity Watch Guatemala, and a team of female Mayan lawyers, they spent many years fighting for justice. Last January the 24th, they were able to obtain that a court of high risk led by Jasmine Barrios convicted five former paramilitary patrolmen of crimes against humanity for the rape of five Maya Achi women in the early 80s. Tonight, we are honored to welcome to Older Women Live OWL CKUT 90.3 FM some of the brave women that have worked very hard to obtain justice for the Achi women's case. Brisna Karina Kashak Alvarez, the Gender Program Coordinator for Impunity Watch Guatemala, who accompanied the victims. Aide Bali, one of the three Mayan lawyers representing the Achi women, and especially Doña Pedrina Lopez, one of the 36 Achi women survivors. Brisna, Aide, and Doña Pedrina, we thank you all for accepting our invitation, and we feel very honored that you are giving us your time to talk to our audience tonight. Thank you for taking the time to sharing with us about the Achi women's case. Brisna, could you please tell us about what the Achi women's case is about?
Thank you for inviting me to be on the show and share with you about the Achi women's case. This case is about the rape that happened to 36 Achi women during the armed conflict in Rabinal, Baja Verapaz. This is actually events or crimes that happened in the context of the conflict. So we're speaking about a series of crimes and events that happened in the region for many years. And it's part of what happened in the in different massacres like Chichupac, Plan de Sanchez. These were communities that were resisting the installation of a hydroelectric plant. And as part of the security doctrine that the state implemented through the armies, they wanted to control this population. And so as part of that strategy that the state used, they used rape as a weapon of war to be able to control the population, to be able to install fear on the women and on the population, but also as a mechanism of punishment, because some of the husbands or family members of these women were part of that, of those groups that were resisting the installation of this hydroelectric plant. But this case in particularly, the Bufete Jurídico de Rabinal, which is the organization that put forward this case, decided to present this case focusing primarily on the sexual violence that the women suffered. So as I said before, it's a group of 36 women that were raped by civil patrol, self-defense civil patrollers that were a group that were trained, that were organized by the army to establish that control at the community level. So this is the first case where patrollers were tried for the crimes that they committed. And it's important to highlight that Rabinal in Baja Verapaz was the region, the area where there were more self-defense civil patrollers organized in Guatemala. So this is emblematic in the sense that it shows how the self-defense patrollers were organized by the army and how they were trained to commit these crimes. These are people that were part of the communities, that were trained and armed and organized by the army. So it is very difficult because some of these men knew the women, some of them were even family members of the women. And so I think this case, the trial showed very well how this strategy of the security doctrine was implemented using these patrollers. The case, as I said before, were 36 women, but the trial itself was focused on what happened, particularly to five women that were raped at different moments, including a girl, but that the 36 women have felt that this case represents their struggle and what happened to them. And even though in this case, five patrollers were tried and judged, there are still others that are awaiting justice. There are still higher rank members of the army, for example, that are responsible and who should face justice as well. But it is emblematic in the sense that it shows very much the pattern and what happened in Rabinal.
Thank you very much for your answer. Yes, you mentioned that there are also high army members, high command army members that are responsible for this situation, because you mentioned that these patrollers were under the instruction of the army high command. And I remember that Benedicto Lucas Garcia was a high command of the army or chief of the army during these times. And is he going to be part of the people that are going to be accused? Do you know?
If we look at the region of the Baja Verapaz where Rabinal is located, and also Alta Verapaz, there's a series of crimes that were committed in the region, and there's other cases that are linked and where these high rank military officials are responsible. Like, for example, the case of Creon Paz, for example, and also right now there's a case that's being tried where other responsible people have been detained, which is the Tactic case. These are all officers that are responsible for all of these crimes in the region. And definitely Benedicto Lucas is one of them. But we are aware that these are all officers that are responsible. I also want to mention that there's other patrollers that had been identified by the victims. But that, for example, three of them were set free in the intermediate phase when another judge was seeing the case and did not believe in the testimonies of the women. This judge is Claudette Dominguez. At the moment when she was listening to the testimonies and had to determine whether there was enough evidence to send the patrollers to trial, she decided that there was not enough evidence. She did not believe in the testimony of the women. And six of those patrollers were set free. It was positive that later on, with a new judge, three of those patrollers were again detained and were sent to trial and are part of those five that were accused and sentenced. But there are still other three that are still pending justice, and the organizations and the victims have presented legal resources to try to fix that decision, but we don't know what will happen. So just like those three were set free, there's other patrollers and there's other officers. The Commission for Historical Clarification report states that in Rabinal, there was about 5,000 self-defense patrollers. So we can imagine the magnitude of the crimes that were committed in the region.
So that means that probably the case may continue in order to involve more patrollers that are responsible for these crimes?
Yeah, the prosecutor's office and the Bufete Jurídico de Rabinal, they are investigating other cases. It really depends also on how the justice system will be able to respond to these cases moving forward. I think it is important to note that with this general prosecutor, there have been efforts to weaken and dismantle the human rights attorney's office that leads these cases. So there is hope that these cases will continue, but it is important to know that there's also risks depending on who the general prosecutor is.
Well, thank you very much for sharing this with us. At least I would say that the sentence that was obtained against the five patrollers, it's great. That's a really good start. And I would like to ask you now, how has been your experience accompanying the Achi women in this case?
Well, yeah, I would like to say that I started working or supporting this case as being part of Impunity Watch, which has supported this case from about 5 years ago with the inclusion of my colleague, Aide Valet, as a lawyer in the case. And then sort of support has been as being part of the gender program of Impunity Watch in trying to support the networking and the communications aspects of the case in trying to promote that a wider audience know and understand what happened to these women. So I think it was positive to be able to get a wide audience during the trial. I think there was a much more positive response than we expected. For me, I think it's very touching and very hopeful to see these women continue in their struggle for justice. For so many years, it's 40 years after the crimes occurred and 11 years after they presented their claim, and to see their perseverance and their decision to continue seeking justice, I think is very motivating to continue supporting these sort of struggles and to see the change in the women in terms of their strength and their clarity in terms of seeking justice is very touching, because also listening to their stories and what happened to them and the way that they were raped, the cruelty, or some of them being girls, it's very tough, it's very hard. I mean, we know that these things happened during the conflict. You see it in reports and you know that this has happened. I also had the opportunity and chance to be close to the women of Sepur Sarco, for example. But it's always very sort of touching and heartbreaking to always hear the testimony of a victim of rape and what they had to face. But at the same time, like I said, it is very hopeful and motivational to see their determination and their strength to continue seeking justice.
Thank you very much. What kind of support do you think the international community could provide the women of the Achiques?
Well, I think first is just sort of showing, expressing the support, the admiration for what they have reached. I think also disseminating to a wider audience what happened in Guatemala and what happened to them particularly, I think it's important. Because Guatemala continues to need the international support to be able to consolidate a stronger justice system, to consolidate a more democratic state, because we are facing a regression, you could say, in terms of human rights. And there is a risk that so many more cases of transitional justice may not have a chance to reach justice. So I think the observation of the international community on Guatemala and what is happening in terms of... I also think that the international community can support in sort of pressuring the state to comply with the measures of reparations that the tribunal established. There are 12 measures that have been established. And there's always difficulties in terms of implementing and the state complying with those measures. So I think the international community can sort of support in monitoring that and also in pressuring the state to comply.
Thank you very much for your answer, Brisna. I also think that given the fact that in Guatemala, not only the implementation of hydroelectrics, but also the open mind projects that have been implemented have affected a good number of indigenous communities in Guatemala. I think it is important that we denounce that in countries like Canada, which is a really great investor in that kind of project, and also United States that has that. So yes, thank you very much. We'll continue trying to make it known, make these stories known to the general public. And we really thank you and admire the work that these women have done and continue doing, and and also the work that organizations like yours, Impunity Watch, and the work that you as an agenda coordinator do in terms of achieving justice. So thank you very much. I don't know if you would like to add anything else.
Thank you for the space. And yeah, I think also sort of inviting the audience to continue listening to what is happening in Guatemala. There are other cases that are also in the justice system right now that need support and attention. So, but thank you very much also for giving us this space in the program.
Aide, for you as an Achie woman, what did it mean to be a lawyer for the Achie survivors?
Para mí fue una oportunidad estar del lado de sobrevivientes.
For me, it was an opportunity to be on the side of the Achie women who were subjected to sexual violence during the internal armed conflict, because I belong to the Maya Achie people who were persecuted in the worst years of the internal armed conflict. I was able to access a formal higher university education and obtain the legal profession. This gave me the necessary tools to be able to accompany the survivors in their causes, which they had begun to defend 10 years ago, when the denunciation of the Achi women's case began. This complaint included not only the acts committed against them, but also against their community in the municipality of Rabinal Baja Verapaz. Many communities were systematically persecuted and subjected to violations of human rights. Being part of this process allowed me to get to know better and up close the reality of the survivors of the past and the present reality, their hopes and the sorority that made up the 36 surviving Achi women. It also allowed me to contribute as a woman to this very important cause.
Cerca esa realidad, no solo de esa realidad que ellas tuvieron que enfrentar, sino la realidad actual, sus condiciones, pero también conocer sus anhelos, su esperanza, esa sororidad, esos lazos que lograron formarse entre el grupo de 36 mujeres. Entonces, para mí fue una poder ser parte de esta lucha también me permite me dio la oportunidad de contribuir como mujer y poder ser parte de esta causa tan importante.
Well, we thank you so much, Aide, for your work, your commitment. We consider that the work you have done, it was really necessary for the Achi women to achieve this sentence in this case. What were the challenges and achievements in this case for you as a team of Mayan lawyers and for the survivors in the Achi case?
Los retos que enfrentamos fueron varios. Hay que tomar en cuenta que las mujeres son, bueno, residentes.
We face several challenges. The Achi women come from rural areas with minimal schooling. They suffer from various health problems because of the violent acts committed against them. Also, as a result of poverty, their economic situation worsened. Their life projects were cut short, and they had to start over from scratch. It was difficult for them that their communities were destroyed. Despite this, the women formed a collective and began the search for justice. We must also consider that there are already great challenges in the justice system. It is a rigorous system and totally removed from the reality of these women. This system uses codes far removed from the application of indigenous jurisdiction that Mayan women practice in their communities. In the case of the Achi women, there were very particular situations that we denounced. There was a judge who heard this case at the beginning, and she allowed classist and racist stereotypes to be used against Achi women. This type of practice should not happen, since Guatemala is a party to important conventions and instruments on this issue. Therefore, the women filed a complaint for discrimination at the administrative level, before the judicial body, the human rights ombudsman, the competent agencies, and the public ministry. So we see that the women not only suffered human rights violations from 1981 to 1985, but also faced discrimination now throughout the process. Fortunately, it was possible to show that this judge was inclined to favor the defendants, which revealed the lack of objectivity of her decisions, and the process was changed to another judge. On the other hand, it should be mentioned that these types of cases represent a great challenge because 4 decades have passed, that is 40 years since the events occurred. So there is already a precedent that cases of sexual violence can be judged. This has been the product of the demand of sectors of women and of indigenous women who have demanded that justice be applied in cases of sexual violence. 10 years ago, it was still doubted that these cases could constitute a crime, that there was a figure at the Guatemalan level who could tell us what guide to follow, what sanction to impose. All this represented a challenge for the justice system. But little by little, this has been changing. This is the 4th case in which sexual violence is discussed, which is a significant achievement. It should be noted that the sentence of the 5 former civil patrollers is an important precedent for women and the world because the importance of the statements, of the testimonies of the survivors is recognized. They are recognized for their courage in breaking the silence, pointing out those responsible for the crimes and saying what happened. If there were no women who dared to speak out despite the social stigma attached to the victims of sexual violence, these cases would not be known and these crimes would continue to be committed. This sentence is important because it recognizes that the women were not to blame, because it recognizes that other people and the state were responsible for what happened to them. The sentence opens the opportunity to seek and demand reparation from the state for all the atrocities they had to face.
Señalar a los responsables de los hechos, al decir qué fue lo que ocurrió en contra de ellas, porque si no hubiera mujeres que se atreven a hablar a pesar del estigma social que significa la violencia sexual, entonces estos casos no se conocerían y luego ya en otros conflictos, en otros contextos, pues se seguiría discutiendo. Se sería cometiendo esta violencia sexual y pareciera que lo que pasó pues no pasó porque no fue conocido. Entonces, por esto es una de las cosas que hay que resaltar de esta sentencia y es importante para las mujeres porque la sentencia reconoce que ellas no fueron las culpables, sino que fueron otras personas o el Estado el responsable de lo que a ellas les ocurrió. Entonces, también abre la posibilidad de buscar esa reparación, de exigirle al Estado esa reparación que a ellas les corresponde por todas las atrocidades que ellas tuvieron que enfrentar.
Well, I agree with you in the fact that it was really important to remove that judge that was allowing discrimination against the survivors. It was very important that Claudette Dominguez was no longer the judge in charge of this case. It's really important all the achievements that you have obtained, and in the sentence is really good. And I would like to know if what was obtained in terms of reparation was what the survivors expected.
Yo creo que se obtuvieron, se lograron Una buena parte de medidas de reparación que van enfocadas a la rehabilitación, a provocar cambios significativos en la vida.
I believe that a good part of the reparation measures that are focused on rehabilitation and on bringing about significant changes in the lives of the survivors and their communities were achieved. There are several measures focused on the dissemination and maintenance of historical memory that ask that the case of the Achi women be known and that they serve as an example of the struggles of women, of not giving up despite of this, the obstacles they faced. This case will serve to inspire other struggles, past and present. Whether it got what was expected, the answer is no. During the trial, there was a lot of arguing and there were repeated patterns that show that the scorched earth policy was applied against the survivors. First, women's relatives were kidnapped, their father, mother, husband, or life partner at the time. The women were then subjected to sexual violence. Their homes were burned and destroyed, their animals stolen, and their crops destroyed. They lost everything. For them to have been able to recover in these aspects, we hoped that there would be a land restitution measure that so that their homes could be built. This was a reparation that the Achi women expected, given the situation of poverty in which they were left after being dispossessed of their homes. Somehow we can see why it was not achieved. There is still plenty to do. The reparation is not only economic, but also includes the transformation of local qualitative conditions, for which qualitative steps still must be taken so that the said transformation is achieved. Although not everything was achieved in terms of reparation, we are aware that the approved measures are important. We are on the path of reparation and warranty of non-repetition, which is very important in this type of case.
Lo que fue aprobado es importante, va en la línea de la reparación, de las garantías de no repetición, y que eso es clave en ese tipo de casos.
Yes, again, I agree with you in thinking that this case is an inspiration to other cases, and it was really a great achievement to obtain the sentence of the five ex-paramilitary patrollers, and I wish you success in anything else you do, and would you like to add anything else?
Yo lo que agregaría que para las mujeres sobrevivientes es importante.
For the survivors, the accompaniment that the international community and people who live outside of Guatemala provide is important. Because through that accompany, in this case, there are more eyes, more support. And this is important because of the security issue, which is very sensitive in countries where we have a fledgling democracy. So we appreciate that interest, that accompaniment, that contribution to make this case and the struggle of women known.
Los ojos de los enterrados se cerrarán juntos el día de la justicia o no se cerrarán.
Estamos aquí para reivindicar la memoria del pueblo indígena. Estamos aquí para decir, aquí en Guatemala, sí hubo genocidio.
Ríos de sangre los que lloró la tierra después de tanta masacre en tiempos de la guerra. Y no pienses que esto se quedó solo en los 80, tantos pueblos arrasados de una forma tan cruenta, tan violenta la manera de quitarle agua al pez. El ejército asesinó una y otra vez. Como piensan desde el odio, hacen todo al revés, defendiendo intereses de los ricos. Tal vez usted no se haya dado cuenta, pero el exterminio a pueblos mayas tuvo intención de genocidio. Plan Sofía lo decía, y de matar mayorías. Que casual que en esas tierras hoy haya minería. Fusiles y frijoles para reeducar, son campos de concentración para latinizar. Ríos Montt, no lo niegues, te vamos a juzgar. Cuántas veces necesario voy a testificar. Claro que sí, sí hubo genocidio, lo sabes, te acuerdas.